Welcome to the My Money Podcast number 34 from helpmetosave.com. I'm Karen Bryan, editor of Help Me to Save, where you'll find tips to help you save more money and live well on less. In this edition of the My Money Podcast, I'm going to look at the things you have to take into account when you're opening a savings account. At the moment in the UK, the interest rates on saving accounts are pretty pitiful. In fact, you're lucky if you can find an account where you'll end up with a return on your savings that even matches inflation. Because inflation, RPI is around 3%, and you're lucky if you can get 3% on the savings account. And if you have to pay tax on that 3%, at 20% as a basic rate taxpayer, then 3% is only worth 2.4%. So I was prompted to do this analysis by Agribank, a relatively newcomer in the UK, coming out with some fixed rate accounts, which seemed to get quite a lot of exposure in the financial press because they were offering a bit more than other banks. The Agribank fixed rate accounts were 3.35% for 3 years, 3.5% for 4 years, and 3.6% for 5 years. My major concern about Agribank is that your savings are not covered by the Financial Services Compensation Scheme, the FCSC. This means that if Agribank for some reason goes bust, you could be relieved of your savings. I decided to compare the Agribank 3-year fixed rate account with some other savings accounts that are available in the UK market. The highest rate that I found in institutions offering the full FSCS cover was the Co-op Bank paying 3% on a 3-year fixed rate account. The highest rate I found on a peer-to-peer lending site was RateSetter paying 4.3%. Peer-to-peer lending is online, the peer-to-peer lending sites like a middleman matching people who want to deposit money, savers and lenders, but offering better rates to savers and lower rates to borrowers because they don't have the high costs of banks. It's an online operation, but these kind of peer-to-peer savings aren't covered by the Financial Services Compensation Scheme. So again, there's the potential you could lose your money if things go badly. But they say there's not much risk of this happening because the way they lend to people, if you give the peer-to-peer company £10,000, they don't then lend that exact £10,000 to a borrower. They put the money in smaller parcels, so if somebody does default, you'll only lose a little bit of your money. And some of them do have reserve funds, not to cover the whole amount of money that they have, but to fill some gaps. But that's the risk that you have to be aware of. If you go for a savings account, you get a bit more interest, but there is a more risk to your savings. Now, this is a topic dear to my heart because I've been in the position where I thought we'd lost a significant proportion of our savings when the Icelandic Icesave Bank collapsed in 2008. Although our savings were supposed to be covered by the passport scheme, where the money was guaranteed by the bank in Iceland, the Icelandic government decided to renege on that. Fortunately, the next day, I think it was, the UK government stepped in and Gordon Brown announced that the UK government would reimburse savers. So I was extremely glad for that. And now I'm very cautious of not having money in a savings account that isn't covered by this because I really thought I had lost quite a lot of our savings at one point. So, of course, deciding where to put your savings is a personal decision based on your attitude to risk. Now, if I had some money that I wanted to put in a fixed rate for 3 years, what would I do with it? Well, I think if I wanted to be sure my cash was guaranteed, I'd go for the Co-op Bank because Agribank is only offering an extra 0.35% gross before tax. And as I'm a basic rate taxpayer, that extra 0.35% would only be worth 0.28% after deduction of tax. The interesting thing is that at the moment in the UK, you can also get a 3%, but it is variable, rate of interest in a current account, which is very counterintuitive. The Santander 123 current account is paying 3% on balances in that account, which are a minimum of 3,000 up to a maximum of 20,000. So you can get that rate of interest without tying your money up. But as I say, if you've more than 20,000, it's no good and it's a variable rate. But it is something to bear in mind if you don't want to tie your money up for too long. You want some flexibility. You can beat the highest financial compensation scheme covered rate in a current account. Strange way things are going, but you just have to maximise the situation. You have to do a bit of research, look into the good and bad points about any savings account, and decide what's best for you. But in this hypothetical situation when I was looking for a home for my pot in a 3-year fixed rate interest account, if I wanted to take any risk for a higher return, I'd go for the rate setter account at 4.3%. Compared to Agribank's deal at 3.5%, I'm getting 0.8% more, which is more like 0.6 something after tax, but it's a lot more in addition for taking the risk of not being covered by the compensation scheme. Now, I'm not qualified to comment on whether Agribank or RateSetter have a higher risk of default or of going bust. Agribank says that their agricultural focus means they're low risk, and RateSetter quote an expected bad debt ratio of less than 1.4%, which is lower than a lot of banks. So you do your research and you make your decision. But in my opinion, the Agribank 3-year fixed rate bond isn't in the least appealing. My savers aren't covered by the financial services compensation scheme, and it's not giving me enough extra return for taking that risk. Thanks very much for listening to the podcast, and I do hope that you find it useful when trying to find the best home for your money, because it's very tricky at the moment trying to get any sort of real return, a return that means you exceed the rate of inflation, so your savings are actually increasing in spending power rather than decreasing in spending power, is very, very difficult at the moment. Obviously, if you want to stay in cash, you use your full cash ISA allowance, but it's not a fantastic amount per year. But if you use it every year, you can build up your savings in a tax-free pot. If you want to take more risk, of course, you can go for stock market, ISAs, all sorts of investment trusts and things, where the potential return is much higher, but you will incur charges and you're risking your capital. Experts say that you should spread your risk, have some money in property, some in cash savings, some in the stock market. But at the end of the day, you have to make the decision. You can listen to a lot of experts, even pay for financial advice, but it's you who's going to have to make the decision and live with the consequences. So just make sure that you do your research and you know exactly the risks, if any, that you're putting your money to. If you prefer safety, you have to accept you're going to get a lower return. If you want to go for the potential of a higher return, there's going to be a bit more risk. So do join us again soon for another My Money podcast. You can subscribe to the My Money podcast in iTunes. Come to our website, helpmetosave.com, to read all our articles, and subscribe to the Money Saver newsletter, and then you'll get our 25 tips on how to save money PDF. Goodbye.